Okay, let's start again. We're talking about encouragement. As we look at the whole overall concept of building up the church and reviving the church, we have to understand the vitally important role of encouragement to that revival. Okay? There's a lot of other things that we could do, a lot of mechanical things, and of course we've been looking at a lot of different ideas and concepts throughout the study thus far, but I'm convinced that if you leave the encouragement factor out of, you know, this whole thing, then all of the other things that you do are going to be for nothing. Okay? And one of the reasons that I say that is because there's a vitally important part of what encouragement does that we really have to understand in order for encouragement to work the way I think God intended for it to work. Okay? It's something that I teach people a lot when I'm doing counseling and marriages and families and things of that nature. And it has to do with creating an atmosphere. Okay? One of the things that we talk about when we're talking about families, and I want you to be thinking with me as I share this with you this morning, you know, we talk continually about the fact that we are a family, right? We're a church family. And so think about it, and what I'm sharing with you as I share this with people as I deal with family and counseling, it's the same principle. There are six characteristics that we talk about that make strong families, okay? And the very first one that I think, in a sense, kind of lays a foundation to build all the other ones on is expressing appreciation. In other words, as strong families learn how to express appreciation for one another, right? Now, what that means in terms of this whole idea of encouragement is that, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment, is the idea that we recognize the importance of each person being there. We don't take people for granted. And what we are doing when we're providing this expression of appreciation and providing encouragement is we are giving the members of that family, again, think in terms of the whole church family, we are providing the one ingredient that is vital to the life of the family. Okay? Without this one ingredient, the family will not survive. Okay? And that one ingredient is significance. Okay? It is significance. Now, I define significance in this way. It is a sense of meaning and purpose. And what that says is that every member of that family feels like they belong there. They have a meaning there and they have a purpose. So if, for instance, they weren't there, you know, people would know that. All right? People would recognize they'd be missed, in other words. And not only that, but also the things that they contribute to the family, the things they say, the things they do, are recognized and appreciated by the rest of the members of the family. And that's what provides that significance to the members. And we do that best by encouragement. Okay? So encouragement is not just the idea of lifting someone up when they're down, although that's a big part of it. Encouragement is lifting people up when they're continuing on. They're doing well. So in other words, you think about it this way. Think about a huge stadium where a crowd of, you know, 90,000 people are all gathered to watch a sporting event, whether it's a football game, a baseball game, or whatever it is. What are all the people in the stadium, all the folks that are in the stands doing? They're cheering. Why are they cheering? Some would say because most of them are drunk, right? Okay, they don't know what they're doing. Not all of them. The point of it is that they're cheering because they're trying to do what? They're encouraging their team to do well, right? Yeah. You see? So they're shouting and they're doing the wave and all that kind of stuff in order to encourage their team to succeed. Now, you know, if your team's not doing very well for a while, the fans might get really excited and really try to, you know, come on, let's cheer them on. We can pull this out. But, you know, after a while, the team keeps losing. What happens?
Get quiet.
Yeah, it gets real quiet and fans stop showing up, right? You see? But the idea of encouragement has really two aspects of it. It is that idea of encouraging someone, lifting them up when they're struggling, when they're down, but it's also encouraging them when they're pressing forward to keep on going. Is everybody with me on that? And what it does is it provides that significance that every person, every member of that family needs. Okay? Another way that I put that and I look at it is that when we provide significance to people, it keeps them from running away from home. Right? When people don't feel significant to a relationship, they won't stay in the relationship. It's that simple. Now, when I say they won't stay, I don't mean they necessarily will leave physically, but emotionally they'll leave. Okay? And that's true whether you're talking about marriages, whether you're talking about families, whether you're talking about churches, whether you're talking about jobs, businesses. Those are all relationship type things, okay? And people need to have significance if they're going to stay in those relationships. Right? And the church is one of those same kind of relationships. We are a family. And so we need to be encouraging one another, okay? Because there are going to be a lot of times when members are down, when they're struggling with things. We've all seen that happen. We've all experienced that from time to time. But there's also going to be those times when, you know, we're pushing for something, we're working towards something, and we need to be encouraging those who are doing those things to keep going and so that they can succeed in those things. Alright, so encouragement is both of those aspects of it. Alright? And we need that in order to succeed and to continue to grow as a family. One of the things we talked about last week is that God created us to live in relationships. He did not intend for His creation, any of us, to live isolated. Remember what He said at the very beginning after He created Adam, He said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Okay? And so God recognized and He created us to live in relationship with one another, not isolated from one another. Now, we talked about the passage from Ecclesiastes 4 last week. I mentioned that to you, where the wise man says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So the wise man there is telling us the importance of relationship. People being together, how we can help one another when we're in relationship with one another. And we do that, do things and accomplish a whole lot more when we're in relationships that are working than when we are trying to do things on our own. Okay? Now, I gave a homework assignment last week. Okay? How many of you did your homework? Okay, we got a few hands up here. We're going to look at a few passages here that the writer of Hebrews gives to us about encouraging us to encourage one another. So let's take a look at these various passages. The first one is Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Who's got that? Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. All right, Chuck? Okay, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. How are we to see to it? What does he tell us here to do? Encourage one another. Okay? Encourage one another. In other words, we have to recognize the fact that all of us are going to face temptation in our lives.
Man.
Satan is working on us. Okay? What we have to, what the writer here is really warning us against is allowing ourselves to get so down by sin, okay, that our heart becomes affected by it. Okay? Now, there is sin that we can involve ourselves in that is not of the heart. In other words, you know, we can do things, you know, we do something thoughtlessly and it's sinful and our heart's really not involved in that. But if we continue, then the danger is that it becomes, it wears our heart down. And we can then acquire a sinful, unbelieving heart, he says here. Now, keep in mind, who is he writing to here? He's writing to Christians. Right? So he's not writing to people who are outside of the Lord, already lost. He's writing to people who belong to the Lord and saying, look, you need to see to it that you don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart. And the way that you are able to overcome that is to encourage one another. Okay? And not only to encourage one another, but how often, and this is an important part of it here, daily.
Amen. Okay?
Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. And the concern that he has ultimately is that no one is hardened by sin's deceitfulness. There's a couple of important things here we have to understand. That first of all, the expression, sin's deceitfulness. What does that mean? You what now? Okay, you try to hide it, but also it's the idea that a lot of times sin is so deceitful, we don't even realize we're caught in it until, you know, where the trap is snapped on us, you see. That's how deceitful sin. In other words, Satan does not come to us. I've never had Satan come and say, hey, I'm getting ready to tempt you here, and I want you to realize that, and here's what I'm getting ready to do. He doesn't give us warnings, okay? He just springs a trap on us. And he's deceitful about the way he goes about it. That's the nature of sin. It is deceitful. A lot of times the sin we can get ourselves involved in is things that we think is okay. We think we're doing right, but we're not. That's the deceitfulness of sin. And the other part of that is that deceitfulness, he says, can harden us. Okay? And it can harden us. Now, the idea of being hardened, where is that? What's a familiar biblical scene that idea comes out of?
Exactly.
When your heart is hardened by sin, then you refuse what God tells you to do. And sin is deceitful. Judy? Encouraging one another, and one of the best ways for us to do that is to be together. Of course, we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. And one of the other things that he has to say here. But you know, the idea here is to help us to fight sin, and especially the deceitfulness of sin. We need to be encouraging one another. All right. How about chapter 6 and verse 18? All right.
God with us, and then by
impossible for God
to lie, and even who has left to take hold of the hope set before us and create the courage.
Okay. What are the two unchangeable things that he's talking about? You go back and you read through the text there, the comments, he's talking about God's oath and his promise that he makes. Okay? Those are two unchangeable things. When God makes a promise and he gives an oath to keep that promise, you can bank on that. Okay? You know that God is going to keep his promise. Right? And so the writer then tells us that he did that, and we have that hope so that we can be greatly encouraged. How discouraging is it to live in this world? Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? You see? But God gives us a hope, not for this world, but for the next. So as we look at all the garbage we have to deal with in this world, okay, then we can find hope in realizing that, first of all, how does Paul describe our troubles that we face in this life? We talked about this before. As light and momentary, okay? And so when we're in the midst of those troubles, we can remember that. We can be encouraged to realize that, hey, this is temporary. I'm not going to be here forever. And I have a hope of eternal life because of Jesus Christ. And I can be encouraged by that. Okay? Alright, what about 10 verse 25? Go back to what Judy had mentioned. Pat, you got that?
Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Okay. Some of the translations say not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Okay? And people oftentimes ask and say, well, why do we have to go to church? Well, because God said so. It's interesting that the word assemble, okay, in the Greek language, the word that is used here, ekklesia, is the word for church. Okay? It is to assemble. In other words, another way to look at it is to say, we're not just the church, we are the assembled ones. Okay? Or the assembly. And so he's saying, don't give up meeting together. Don't give up being the assembled ones, assembling together, getting together, as some are already doing. Some of them, he says, are in the habit of doing it. They just quit coming. Okay? How important are habits to us? You were mentioning this a moment ago, Judy. Chuck?
You know, I've told my children, you know, some long time ago, they've been over with the children here, of course, man, it's the children that come, which is a great
right.
lesson. But I've gotten them to look at it, and we all walk with people with assembly, they get in trouble. When if they come back, and when they come back with sores and scars. The people that have a very strong faith in the Lord are good. Now, that's not legalistic, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean if you come here, you know, but it's just, that's what happens.
Well, and I think it goes back to something we said at the very beginning. God didn't intend for us to live isolated, right? So when we absent ourselves from the assembly, then we're trying to make it out there on our own. Okay? And so all the stuff that we're facing in the world, we're facing it by ourselves. And so, yeah, we're going to, if we come back, we're going to come back with a lot of bones and bruises because we've been out there fighting it on our own. Okay? And I'll be honest with you, I'd a whole lot rather have a bunch of people fight with me. Okay? Than me trying to do it by myself. All right, Judy?
It's also to me a sentiment here, and I don't know about everybody else here, but for me, it's like I draw strength from this congregation to make it for another couple of days until we meet again. And I've said it before, and I would say it over and over again, if I had a choice, I would live here all the time.
So you should have had that room mat going to the church building rather than the house. Is that it?
Yes.
Well, you know, again, it's the idea of encouraging one another, and we're doing that more and more. We can't encourage one another if we're not with one another. Okay? And you know, I oftentimes have people that will ask me, you know, preacher, tell me, why do we have to go to church? Well, it's not just because, let's say a moment ago, not just because God said so, although that's a good enough reason for me, but God gives us even more reason. Because we can find encouragement. In a discouraging world that we live in, we can find encouragement by being together. okay? And God has provided. That's part of the reason He gave us His church, is that we can be encouraging and uplifting to one another. All right? Now, somebody says, well, yeah, that's all fine and good if you have an encouraging environment. Okay? But what if you don't have an encouraging environment? Well, then that environment's got to be fixed.
We have encouraging environment.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. But there's a huge difference between, you know, churches where, you know, sometimes it's discouraging for folks to go to church because the environment is so toxic, okay? But that goes back to something else that I want to share with you about what I was started with earlier about this idea of, you know, a family providing that sense of significance. But one of the major things that is the result of that, and what we've got to be aiming for and striving for, is that we create an atmosphere within a family. Okay? Now, your atmosphere is either going to be a strong, healthy atmosphere that is, as I term it, it is an atmosphere that is conducive to growth. Okay? Or it's going to be an atmosphere that is not conducive to growth. If you think about perhaps a greenhouse, if you're trying to grow a bunch of plants in a greenhouse, you have to have a certain atmosphere in that greenhouse, right? A certain amount of light, a certain temperature, you've got to have the water and so forth. All of those things are the things that create an atmosphere that is conducive to those plants to grow. And if you don't have the right atmosphere, those plants are not going to grow. So think about it that way in terms of a family, whether you're talking about mom, dad, and the kids, or whether you're talking about a church family. You're creating an atmosphere that is conducive to growth. If the atmosphere is not conducive to growth, then things are going to die. Okay? And we're talking about in church family, we're talking about people that are going to spiritually, they're going to die. Now you say, well, how can that be? They're going to church. Well, because going to church doesn't make you a saved Christian any more than going to the hen house makes you chicken. Okay? You've got to be living your life the way God wants you to live. And that comes, and we find that encouragement in a struggling world by having an atmosphere that is conducive to growth. And as Betty said a moment ago, we have a fantastic atmosphere here in this church family. I think that's one of the greatest things that we've got going for us here is the atmosphere that we have as family. Because people are encouraged and continue to be encouraged here. And so there is an atmosphere that helps people to grow here. And that's what we strive for, and we'll continue to strive for that as we continue going on, because we want people to grow and not die. In fact, we're so confident of that and so intent on that as an eldership that we will not allow things to go on here unchecked that will cause havoc or wreak havoc on the atmosphere that we have here. That's just simply not going to happen. We will do everything that we can and continue to do everything we can to protect the atmosphere that we have here as a family. Okay, Betty?
My friend, Rick C., always said, he sees no color. And I always have told him, I said, no, Rick, we see no color. And that's the type of relationship that he and I had in St. Mary. We always encourage one another. But the family here is awesome. We always encourage one another. We always uplift one another. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, we all want. And the same family that I see here, the same family that I see outside the church, it's the same. And that's the way it should be.
Okay, let's move on.
Sorry,
we have.
That's exactly what it does. It's the same.
Okay. Okay, how about 12 and verse 5? What happens when we, as family members, you know, when we're not at our best, okay? When we mess up, and so forth. What is this, what's the writer say here? Who's got that? Lynette? Says you've forgotten the word of encouragement, okay? The word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. And what is he talking about here? Discipline. Okay? Discipline. One of the other characteristics of a strong family in the sense of what helps create that atmosphere is, believe it or not, discipline. Now, one of the things we have to understand about discipline, when we talk about discipline, what do we typically think of? Punishment, okay? That's not what discipline is. Discipline may involve punishment, okay? But the word discipline actually comes from the same word as the word disciple, and it literally means teaching, okay? A disciple is a student. Okay, so when we are bringing discipline into an environment, what we are doing is trying to teach. Now, that may involve some punishment to teach someone not to do something that they've been doing or whatever the case may be, but discipline is not simply punishment. Discipline is trying to teach someone. So again, you have an atmosphere where people are able to learn, and when we are learning, we are typically, hopefully, doing what? We are growing. Okay, remember we talked about an atmosphere that is conducive to growth. And so discipline is a vitally important aspect of growth. Without discipline, you have chaos. You have people. People are not being taught what to do and how to live, and they're going to live however. And then you end up with chaos. And you end up with all kinds of problems and disagreements and everything else because, you know, one person thinks, well, it's okay for me to do this. Another person thinks it's okay for me to do that. And people are doing whatever, just like the Israelites. When after Joshua died, what happened to the people? Well, you know, there was no prophet, there was no one there to lead the people, okay? And it tells us everyone did what? What was right in their own eyes, okay? There was no discipline. In other words, nobody was there as leaders to teach them, these next generations coming up, what they were supposed to be doing. And so people were doing what was right in their own eyes. And that led to chaos amongst the Israelite people. And so part of the idea of encouragement is that we are encouraged to be able to learn. And sometimes that learning is, you know, it involves that discipline in terms of the punishment part of it, the painful part, you see, where we learn what to do and what sometimes not to do. Okay? 13 and verse 22. Who's that?
And I beseech you, brother.
Go ahead.
And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you. In few words,
that's fine. Okay. This letter of exhortation, he says here, which is another word for what? Encouragement. Okay. It's interesting as we, especially as we study the book of Hebrews, and as we've been doing this for, you know, how many weeks has it been? We've been studying this, and we haven't even been doing a verse by verse study. Okay. It seems like this is a long book here, isn't it? But the writer says, it's a very short letter. And I think that his meaning is, I've got a whole lot more that I'd love to say, but, you know, right now, this is going to have to do with something along that line, okay? Compared to what I'd like to say to you, and give you more words of encouragement, this is kind of short, okay? But again, he's urging them to understand what he has written as words of encouragement, or words of exhortation. So the writer is, you know, several times emphasizing the significance and the importance of encouraging one another, providing that encouragement. If you put that along, in contrast it with the idea of discouragement, okay, the results of the two should be very obvious. When people are discouraged, not a whole lot gets done, does it? Okay, people give up, they don't have a lot of motivation, but when people are encouraged, then they tend to be moving and growing, and so forth. And so the writer is encouraging them, and keep in mind the atmosphere that the people were living in when he wrote these things to them, okay? It's an atmosphere where they're struggling with persecution and discouragement just from the fact that, again, one of the major things we have to remember is the Christians in the first century, they firmly believed that Jesus was coming back before they died, in their lifetime. And, well, it's been a long time already, he hadn't come back yet. So they're getting discouraged. So the writer emphasizes the importance and significance of encouraging one another so that they do not lose their faith and do not fall away and so forth. Okay? Right?
I don't mention this, and I think it's got a lot to do with the faith and all the things that have gone on the past week in Indianapolis and Texas, and I just it's hard to believe that we live in time. I've never seen this kind of attitude that men have, or a lack thereof, how they can take a life. For whatever the reason they say they have, how you can take something that you can't give. God gives life, and I'm concerned even for my grandchildren, my son. My daughter, they can go somewhere and you never know, they may never see them again, alive. And we need to have the kind of faith, and we are willing to go to God and ask him to watch over them, watch over my family, but I mean, I do it all the time. And he knows I'm serious about it. But you don't ever know. My brother and I was talking this last night. You know, you can go and then never come back.
Right.
Never come back.
We don't know what tomorrow's going to be.
Yes, no. And I mean, the devil is rampant out here, man.
Yes, he is.
I mean, if you don't think so, just all you got to do is look around.
And that's what I was talking about, how, you know, the garbage that we have to deal with in this world today in our lives.
Shame.
We do need to encourage one another and find that encouragement from one another, and especially realizing that no matter how bad it gets, it's only temporary.
Yeah.
We have to remember that. Because, you know, we're not saving this world forever.
God is here to show us.
The more this Bible serves.
But we should also make sure that the way that we live out there is a way that shines the light of Christ so that people that are struggling out there can say, hey, you know, I need a place of refuge. You guys got something going on here. So that they too can find their way out of that garbage.
Amen.
At least to be preferred and so forth. So yes, it's all. The Apostle Paul, in his other writings, I say other because you've heard me talk about Hebrews before. I'm convinced that Paul is the writer of Hebrews, but that's another whole study. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul gives us an instruction here that, that is perhaps one of the strongest, most straightforward things that, that are said in terms of how specifically we can go about encouraging one another, okay? And I think we've talked about this verse in the past, but it's a verse that I tell people, if we would just obey this one verse of Scripture, okay, think about what a difference that would make in, you know, the atmosphere in your family or whatever. Just this one verse of Scripture, okay? Ephesians 4, verse 29. And what does he say here? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Okay? But only what is useful for building others up. That's encouragement, right? So whatever is unwholesome, don't say it. Just keep your mouth shut. Okay? But what you do say, make sure that it's useful for building others up. Now, the next thing here, and I break this down to four things. The third thing that he says here is, according to their needs. And that's an important part of encouragement that we need to understand. Encouragement should not be for our needs. It should be to, for the other person's needs. We have a term that we use when we're encouraging someone for our needs. What is that term that we oftentimes use, or that phrase? Y'all familiar with the phrase buttering someone up? You know? Yeah, we butter someone up. And what that means is, the idea is, yeah, we're trying to make them feel good and so forth so they'll do something back for us. See? And Paul is saying, no, don't do that. If you're encouraging someone, you encourage them according to their needs, not your needs. Okay? So motivation as to our encouragement is vitally important. Then the fourth thing that he says here, so that it might benefit those who listen. Okay? You never know who might be listening to the things that you're saying as you are either discouraging someone by an unwholesome talk or that you are encouraging someone by building them up. Who might be listening? Say, and is what you're saying benefiting them or is it discouraging them also? So you see why I say this one passage, Ephesians 4:29, if we just obey that, We'd resolve a whole lot of problems, wouldn't we? Okay, Chuck?
Well, this is one of the things that amazes me about God. He has sent people in my life at specific times when I needed to hear the exact words of God. And that is spiritual. That is just awesome.
Yeah.
If we let them acknowledge that, and that it actually happens,
yeah,
it's incredible.
He's done the same thing to me, brother. Over and over again. God is ready for it. Ryan? You're exactly right. You're vitally important. I appreciate you bringing that up. That, you know, and I think, again, that's something that we have going on here, is that people are able to come in and say, hey, I'm hurting. They can open up and feel secure, trusting that, you know, as they share whatever, they're not going to be ripped apart and torn apart by, you know, by sharing what have you, that so that they can trust this family with what's going on in their lives. I think that's one reason why we have people that are willing to open up with what's going on in their lives a lot more than any place I've ever been a part of. Okay, we're out of time this morning. We're going to, next week, Cindy and I are going to be out of town. We're leaving Thursday to go down to see the family down in South Carolina. Emma's turning 7 this week.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we're going down there to have birthday and all that stuff and see them. Ryan's going to be teaching Bible class and preaching next Sunday. The following Sunday, we're going to continue with this part of our study a little bit more on here. But we're going to be talking about seeing and verbalizing the positive. All right, so just think about that a little bit, and that's where we'll pick up. All right, thank y'all very much.